The Midweek Drive Team, four words which signify quality and all that's best in audio entertainment.
Go to Mars or Jupiter or Saturn. The world is not enough there from, of course, Garbage. The theme to... it'd be insulting your intelligence, Ben Lewis, to actually ask you which Bond movie that was the theme to.
Well, the world is not enough.
Exactly. So I won't. I won't do that, but I will actually ask you a little Bond question, because I know you're a Bond aficionado. Can you tell me the name of the actress who portrayed the main villain, the main female villain, in The World Is Not Enough?
I don't know.
Can you name the female villain?
As in the actual character.
As in the character. She wasn't obviously Ernst Stavro Blofeld. No, because he was male. No. But in these transgender days, we don't know. Any ideas? Electra Electra was the villain, and Sophie Marceau was the actress who had noted, I think, basically for the sequence where Sophie Marceau's character Electra effectively sits on Pierce Brosnan's lap as Bond, whilst he might possibly be throttled by a chair. It's not something I would try at home, basically, but it was just an interesting thing that stuck from the movie. It is one of those movies which I think, because Pierce Brosnan has had a little bit of a some people sort of say no, it's not Daniel Craig, it's so on. It's not necessarily flagged up as one of the finest, but can you remember the name of the female associate, the sort of the partner for The World Is Not Enough? Either the actress or indeed the character.
No.
Oh, you see? and here was I thinking you'd used all of your lockdown to actually cover all of the Bond movies.
Well, I've been watching them all. I did one every day, and that covered the month.
Ah, right. Well, in case people wish to actually be put out of the misery, the character was Christmas Jones. There is another line that was clearly used frequently within the movie, which I won't go into. And it was a person who was portrayed by Denise Richards.
Yeah.
There you go. And that was actually no excuse, because last week we had GoldenEye. So this week, actually,
I was expecting you to put them all in order.
That would be too easy. You know,
start with Dr. No. And
it's the randomizer. The World Is Not Enough, 1999. So you were born.
I look forward to next week then.
Exactly.
I was born by that. Yeah. You're right.
Well, you know, exciting times, Bern. Very, very, very exciting times. Because when I look at the scores for last week in our weekly predictor challenge, which of course ties in with Thursday's Siren Radio Midweek Drive, apparently much bigger transmitter now, so you can hear us all over the place. 25-watt pounding out. It's very, very exciting.
Wonderful.
It's marvellous. We might not be in the studios, but at least the programmes are going.
Let's hope people are interested.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So, let's go through them then. Sheffield United versus Spurs, of course. We both effectively lost this little baby. You said 3-0 to Spurs. I said 2-1 to Spurs.
Couldn't have been more wrong.
Exactly. I think it's fair to say we effectively sort of were out of package there. Sheffield United finally actually managed to restore some form and work through that whole process. Interesting enough, I see the headline, Why Messi is Fed Up at Barcelona. Could he be joining Brighton?
I highly doubt it, although we would say no if he wasn't enjoyed.
Well, I'm thinking, you know, there's with Glenn Murray being an example of a more mature player working for Brighton, then maybe it could be an ideal place. And there's a good seaside.
Could be, but I think the company of Brighton would go bust, I think, if Messi joined.
He might do it as a favour. Sheffield United, of course, beat Tottenham 3-1. Well, I was really pleased with the next one because I was underly optimistic. I'd predicted a 2-1 win to Manchester City. You'd said 2-1 to Liverpool. I don't know why. You know, I mean, after the Guard of Honour and everything else.
Very true.
A good solid 4-0 victory, which hopefully sets the scene for the restoration of where we should be in upcoming seasons and so on, wherever we happen to be. So 4-0 for that. So that gave me 2 points. So I thought, fine, 2 points here, all working well.
You were winning, I believe.
Well, this is it. So, you know, I had two from last week, two from this week. That gave me 4 points. But. This is where things get really interesting. Even though you were saying Hull City, Middlesbrough, I don't know. I'd said 1-1. 1-1 was looking so I was going to get a massive 3 points. Going to put me up to 5. It was 1-1 until the very, very, very last seconds. Total devastation for Neil Warnock's Warriors. Hull City 2, Middlesbrough 1. As you predicted, you now lead 5 points to 4.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh, I'll take that. I'll take that any day of the week. Oh, that's not going to happen any longer, I can tell you that now. It's all going to go pear-shaped.
Well, I mean, it does bring us around to the predictions for this week, which clearly, again, allowing for the fact that although these programmes pretty much are released into the internet web space world, usually on Saturday or Sundays, but because we appreciate that it's for Siren Radio's FM Midweek Drive Morning Edition, we hold it until Thursday, when it goes out from that point of view. the fixtures for this evening. If you're listening to this on Thursday the 9th of July, or indeed you're looking ahead to Thursday the 9th of July, another four selections made. Bournemouth, Tottenham, Everton, Southampton, Aston Villa, Manchester United, and from the Championship, Leeds United, Stoke City. So again, things to ponder on from there. Whilst we take a few moments to actually sort of share with you, Ben, how do you think the season's panning out? Is it exciting, or is it a case of, well, as long as you remember when you're watching television coverage, just don't bother tuning in for the first half hour. Everything happens pretty much after the first 30 minutes have gone by in most cases.
Yeah, that's true. It's I don't know, with Brighton, it's been interesting. I've watched a lot of the games, and in fact, I think almost all. And the things with Brighton, they're quite painful to watch. I mean, that Man United game, they lost the other last week was pretty shoddy, to be honest. But it's interesting to see teams, you know, like Sheffield United, who you don't expect to win, to actually, you know, give the good teams a good go. And that always makes it quite entertaining. But then also, you know, you watch some games and you kind of just feel like you're watching paint dry. I mean, I don't know. I watched the Charlton game last night, Charlton-Millwall, thinking it would be a good derby. Which is a championship game, but
the standard just wasn't
Premier League, and you knew it wasn't Premier League.
It was 1-0 to Millwall. I mean, I'm surprised actually you didn't actually check out the playoff semi-final with Gerry Barton. Of course, would he ever become manager of Brighton? I hope not.
I hope not as well. yeah, but that was also interesting, wasn't it? The fact they lost to Wickham. 4-0, wasn't it?
4-1 was the 4-1. Final score. Fleetwood right. Town 1, Wickham Wanderers 4, and the other playoff, of course, Portsmouth 1, Oxford United 1. So interesting routine from that aspect. Good result for the Borough, of course, as far as Charlton was concerned. Oh, as far as Millwall was concerned, Millwall beating Charlton, which actually, because it's a bit of a clutch of teams, which could be very interesting. We're doing a Fly Me to the Moon special with respect to the Queen's Park Rangers game that Borough come on board tomorrow after, indeed, we've had a look at the overall results. But for today and so on, let's move into those predictions. Do you want me to do as I did last week and give you all my four and then effectively...
Go for it.
Okay, well, I would say Tottenham will beat Bournemouth 2-0. I think Bournemouth pretty much will go down together with Norwich and Aston Villa, so I think probably Brighton will be safe overall. I could be wrong, though.
I like your faith.
I'm a Man City fan. Faith is our second word. We are not really here. We're not really here. We're not really here. Everton, Southampton. Everton 2, Southampton 1. I think that despite Southampton's resurgence, although having said that, they'll have played City, Man City on the Sunday. Hopefully things will pan out for that beforehand. So I'm still sort of saying that Carlo Ancelotti will probably have too much for Ralf Hasenhüttl, which I think stands for Rapid Hutch. I've heard in terms of the translation.
That's strange. In what language, though?
Austrian, German. So Everton 2, Southampton 1, I'm saying for that. Aston Villa 1, Manchester United 3. I think they'll probably get a goal, but I think Manchester United will probably be too strong for them. And finally, yeah, well, I suppose not in the direction of Tessa Snart's dad. Before too long, I'm sure we'll be sharing a Zoom connection with Tessa and yourself, Ben, and we'll be all together like one happy virtual family, waving and doing crazy things via Zoom in our Zoom series of interviews. No music, but great chat.
It's nice to know what crazy things.
Those crazy, crazy, crazy things. I mean, I'm now beginning to realise that my life was somehow incomplete before the pandemic and before, obviously, broadband was installed and I can actually use the magic of Zoom. I don't have shares in the company. I just think it's a very good system to use. Leeds United 2, Stoke City 1 is what I'm going for. So there we are. Right. Those were my sort of thoughts from your point of view. Let's take yours, Ben. Bournemouth versus Emma Street's favourite team, even though her dad supports Man City. I know. Emma will be doing great work with the online virtual Newark Book Festival next weekend.
Virtual
book festival. So will Eloise Sheehan, actually. She'll also be doing great work with respect to her. Yes. Bournemouth Tottenham.
I think, although Tottenham had a bad game this week, I think Tottenham will win 4-0 on this one. Ooh. I'm going quite bold on this one. I think Bournemouth have been playing so poorly lately. I think Tottenham will do really well.
They have dropped like a stone, a cherry stone, quite literally. It's like the cherry's all gone and you've left the stone and you just spit it out. Sorry, Eddie Howe, but I think they might battle it. As I said, I went 2-0. You've gone 4-0. Okay. Wouldn't it be ironic if they turned it around like Sheffield United did, but still?
Would be ironic, yeah.
Everton, Southampton.
I think this would be 1-1.
Okay. Aston Villa, Manchester United.
Man United, I will probably go with 2-0.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very sad, but it does seem as though since they signed Bruno Fernandes, their entire fortune seemed to have lifted off, really.
Leeds versus Stoke City.
I think Leeds are going to win that one, you know. I think they're talking 2-0, I'll say. Mm-hmm. It could be 3, but I think I'll go 2 as a safe bet.
It's duly written down, and as I said earlier, I'm going for 2-1. I think it's fair to say that Tessa's dad, Dave Snart, will be very, very happy about that because he's almost getting to unbearable levels of excitement these days, being, of course, a Leeds United fan.
Oh, so is my uncle. My uncle's a Leeds fan as well. So there's two of them, at least.
What?
That's one more than Man City, Alex.
Okay. Don't get me started on penalty VAR and the fact that how could actually you've had that disallowed for handball, but fair enough. It could have been 5. Still. Ben, fantastic stuff as ever. We'll put those last two questions to you and hopefully we won't get a power cut. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic phoner with us today?
I have indeed, thank you.
And will you be back with us again, probably via Zoom, in the very near future?
I will indeed.
Hey there, everybody. I'm filmmaker, podcaster, California State Certified Violence Prevention Specialist, and podiatrist to the stars, Phil Lernis. And I've been proud to be a U.S. cultural correspondent for Alex Lefchuk's Midweek Drive program for many years now. And I congratulate you, dear listener, on having found this oasis of podcast audio magic in the cosmos. Or on your internet-equipped mobile device, or your computer.
There's a good tradition of love and hate, staying by the fireside. There's a good tradition of love and hate, staying by the fireside. Now the rain may fall, your father's calling you, you still feel safe inside. Although your ma's too proud, your brother's ignoring you, you still feel safe inside. Oh, was this solo? Was this yesterday? Was this true for you? 'Cause while all the rest had taken time, this didn't do enough for you. Laced with memories, tell you how it used to be. Your mother smiles, children play, and all the bad things happen miles away. And strong feelings never bother you, you hold your head up while the rest of us try to. Oh, call the stations, call the people, we all wanna know. 'Cause while all the rest have taken time, you don't wanna know. Fireside, there's a good tradition of love and hate. Stand by the fireside, no, the rain may fall. Your father's calling you, you still feel safe inside. No, your ma's too proud, your brother's ignoring you, you still feel safe inside. Oh, was this solo? Was this yesterday? Was this true for you? 'Cause of all the choices you had made, didn't do a lot for you.
Good tradition. And when it comes to traditions and getting the right kind of traditions, whether we're talking about post-COVID, pre-COVID, during COVID, who better to go to than our ace individual when it comes to matters of etiquette, party planning, guide to etiquette, general all-round awesome soul, Liz Brewer. How are you, Liz?
Thank you, Alex. Very well indeed.
Good. That's good to hear, because these days, somehow, even the very words, how are you, think, well, we're still here. That's the important thing. It's been an extraordinary few months, Liz, I think, by anybody's stretch.
Well, it's definitely been different. Mm. And I'm quite grateful for the last 3 months, because it's given me a chance, which I'd have never have done, to go through every one of my hundreds of files, photograph albums, press cuttings, etc. And I'm still going right now strong and trying to put some order into it and remind me of, you know, what's been going on for the last 30, 40 years. So, and it's, for me, it's been almost like reliving my life. So it's been quite interesting.
Without Eamon Andrews and the little red book that I actually used to have on the big red book. Which
Probably, yes. Yeah.
In terms of the way that we've been developing this, you kindly sent me a photograph of Royal Ascot a few years ago. That was something which was clearly online, quite successful online. But, of course, the season, as officially known, of Wimbledon, Ascot and other events and so on, polo, has clearly been decimated on this basis, I think, for the first time, actually, in living memory.
Yeah, it has been, except, of course, for the war years. But, yeah. I mean, that was so long ago. Yeah. But, and trouble is, you know, virtual racing and virtual Wimbledon and that doesn't really do it. So, and of course, the problem is, it's also our great institutions like Shakespeare's Globe, the Albert Hall, the theatres, everything that tourists in this country keep going. I mean, we're so grateful to them. And so I feel very sad for the theatres at the moment, because I think it's the actors, script writers, etc., who are suffering.
Yeah, we were talking to Jonathan Lindsley, and clearly you can turn your hands to other activities, but if your whole art is very much focused on live performance, it becomes much more challenging. But that's, again, part of the sort of experience we've got. I also read an article recently, Liz, which I thought, I must get Liz's view on this particular thing, which suggested that the handshake is now extinct. We will never return to the handshake. Elbow bumping might be the closest we ever get to physical contact. We need to employ the namaste bow, and we avoid physical contact at all. We might be the last generation who remember the handshake, where we used to use it as a matter of course.
I don't think we can ever say never.
No.
I think it's going to be a period of time when the whole world is going to reboot. We're going to have to rethink, and we've got a younger generation growing up that's gone through 3 months of a total change. They say it takes 3 weeks to break a habit. Well, we've had 3 months. Mm. So it'll be very interesting to see what happens, the good old British handshake, whether it comes back. I don't think the bump does it. And I always think
that looks very awkward.
Well, people always laugh when they do it.
Yeah.
I think there are ways of greeting people that will come back, but at least we've lost all that familiarity, which was becoming a norm. People felt they had the right to invade your inner energy aura and, you know, give you a hug or kiss on both cheeks.
They hadn't
even got to know you. Yes. You know, it takes time to actually invade somebody else's energy aura. And I think, so in a way, it's been quite good for that. So, but as for the handshake, I mean, I'm not sure that it won't come back eventually, because especially in the business environment or the more formal environment, we're certainly never going to bump elbows. And the East have got, you know, a way of putting their palms together. It's all very nice doing that. But we Brits, we've been doing it for hundreds of years. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Looking at the positive side of the last few months, again, we were talking about this with your daughter, Tal, there is a sense to actually focus and become centred. And you yourself have actually said, Liz, how you give you opportunity to really reflect on the processes and so on. Is that a lesson that we really need to take away from the whole experience, that actually we should not really look to instantly go back to the high-speed, high-energy, 24/7 activities that we used to have? We need to have that time to reflect, as you rightly said, time to reboot.
Yes, what's happened is, and it's absolutely excellent, it's been a levelling off. So it's brought us down to earth, as it were. And we needed to get our values in order again. We've becoming a nation of people that were being judged by the trainers we wore, of all things. The labels started to dictate our lifestyle. I was so adamantly against all that. And instead of judging people for what they were truly giving to society and what they were worth. And where has been wonderful is, yes, like what Tallulah's done, my daughter, she's actually done a lot on screen, virtual singing and virtual sound baths, etc. But the young have learned to connect, and they've learned to connect in a very expressive way. And I'm all for that. And I'm also, I applaud the fact that they've now got back to us a grounded sense of values. Tallulah's actually growing her own vegetables. People are actually suddenly realizing how wonderful it is and what a sense of achievement you have out of one plant with three tomatoes on it.
And as she reveals to us, Liz, on the programme, she's also become a carpenter.
Oh, I didn't know. Oh, wait a minute. Yes, she made the beds for her vegetable garden.
Yes, exactly.
Absolutely right.
Yes. I never thought I'd see the day when Tallulah Randall would become an ace carpenter as well. It's
but
amazing.
You know something, Alex? What is so wonderful, and it's another thing I keep preaching about, is the fact that, you know, we were getting into this recycling thing. All very well throwing out and recycling. I grew up in an age where we didn't have a recycle collection. We actually kept things and we adapted them. We made things and were proud of them. I mean, you know, whether it was making plant pots for the garden, but we didn't throw away things. And I think this has also given us a chance to realize, yeah, we don't need to throw away those empty bottles or boxes or what. Let's make them into something else and actually feeling good about it.
Working on the phrase upcycle as opposed to recycle.
Absolutely right. Spot on.
Liz, in terms of interviews, were you a familiar user of Zoom before the whole process emerged?
Or not at all. Never heard of it. Quickly learn how to do it. Yeah.
I certainly thought it was an ice lolly, but no.
Very quickly for my Shakespeare's Globe council meetings and things and birthdays and connecting with people. I think it's absolutely brilliant. And that will have a purpose in people's lives. It definitely will have a place, but it will never replace actually physical contact and sitting in a room and having a meeting, because I don't think you can ever substitute the reality of people's energy and eyeball contact. What you can get from a Zoom meeting isn't necessarily the best form of communication.
It is interesting insofar as whether you're on Microsoft Teams, whether you're using Zoom, Skype seems to have just fallen off the platform, really. Nobody Skypes these days. It's all gone.
A lot of WhatsApp.
Yes, yeah.
And sometimes with people, Zoom seems to fail, but WhatsApp doesn't. So each to their own. Eventually, we'll look back at this and it'll be touch a button and we'll all be communicating. But at the moment, unless we get virtual reality, we can't smell, we can't, as it were, take in the atmosphere, we can't breathe it in. So, I think it's a wonderful substitute at the moment, but I don't think it'll last.
Well, I made my first Zoom calls recently, and it does kind of work, and obviously within the broadcasting area, we'll be recording some interviews at Zoom. Who knows, the next time we feature yourself, Liz, we might do it via Zoom.
Yeah, we could do a Zoom. Exactly. I've done a lot of those, and they've been very successful. To begin with, I did one. Sadly, I was doing a big women's conference, and somehow or other, it was the International Women's Conference, and I was talking about, you know, how life is changing during lockdown. And the sadness was, I was the first speaker in the second half, but the first half never got off the ground, so I was the first speaker in the second half, and it seems that was it. But unfortunately, there was no record of it, they didn't record it, and I've never seen or heard of it. And it's sad, because I really enjoyed doing it. But so they didn't quite get the technology right. Hopefully now they have. But so it was a learning process for a lot of people.
Yes, it is fairly critical that you actually press the button marked record, as I've done, obviously, for this particular piece today, actually, Liz.
Oh, wonderful. You know. Great.
Otherwise, you know, we're reliant upon it being echoes of reality, and we as yet haven't actually quite managed to actually work out a way to actually simply gather conversations from the ether. But that'll probably come. Mm. Liz, it has been fantastic sharing some thoughts with your good self, some of the lockdown material. Obviously, I've kept up with you in terms of Facebook, and we've battled through on that basis. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us back on the Midweek Drive today?
Yeah, absolutely, Alex. It's been wonderful to chat to you and to catch up and to see that we're both thriving and going forward.
As I say, I'm kind of getting used to no co-presenters in the studio now, because clearly that was, as you know, normally we pass on the interviewing baton, we pass on the chat bat, we have various other folk there. But I think we're managing to cope and still producing material, which is commendable and worthwhile.
Well, next time you can do a Zoom, and then you can have them all there.
This is, so far, I actually scheduled for this week, we will be having a kind of multi-participant Zoom, and that of course is the next stage in terms of how we're going, but as it stands, I think we're working through. So the next critical question is, will you be kind enough to return? Will you come back?
Yeah, I'd be delighted to, Alex.
Fantastic.
Now, it seems that as we proceed through the 21st century with the challenges of COVID-19 and so on, we get busier and busier. I know I've been spending the last few weeks planning for blended learning at the University of Lincoln, attending lots of online meetings and sorting out all manner of other bits and pieces. Clearly, one needs help. One needs the help that can only be provided by the awesomely talented Dr. Hilary Jones. Dr. Hilary, how are you?
I'm fine, Alex. That's very kind of you. What an intro to live up to.
Well, you know, this is the first time in all the times we've done interviews that we've actually had face-to-face contacts through the technology. It's astounding. And you're looking very well, sir.
And you. And you.
Anyway, this recent research, which suggests that actually we are in need of a break, and even more so in times like this, where the stress factor has probably been phenomenal around the globe, not just in Britain.
Particularly because there are so many things beyond our control. People are worried about the virus for sure. I mean, this is a part of medical history, the biggest pandemic for 102 years. People are worried about their physical health. They're worried about their relatives, their elderly relatives, their children who've been off school for so long. They're worried about being stuck at home. They're worried about their jobs, finances, and what the future holds. And therefore, levels of anxiety and depression, which were already high, have been made worse. And the GPs and mental health charities all know this. And it's important that people share their emotional feelings about the pandemic and about their concerns, because a problem shared is a problem halved. And it's time to take a break. Now that we're easing out of lockdown, I think it's important that we away from the four walls that have been imprisoning us for the last few weeks, get a breath of fresh air out in nature, maybe not going too far afield, but having a few days off. I think that's going to be good for our mental health and our physical health. And a survey conducted by Willoughby Holiday Homes called the Great British Breakoff has shown that actually people often prefer regular short trips where they don't have to plan too much in advance and spend too much money are preferable to one long holiday once a year.
And certainly the findings that over a third of British folk think the holiday is important for unwinding. It is important. And for those of us, I mean, okay, some of us are blessed to actually work in environments like universities, which have had their own sets of challenges and so on. There are other sort of cases from the perspective of students. We're getting used to an online system, but there has been such a rapid change. Even this very interview, as I say, which a few months back would have been in a studio, we'd be sorting out various other things, having to coordinate that. We need to basically not just have a digital detox, perhaps, but also sometimes actually just maybe reboot ourselves. And is that the essential part of a holiday?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I think we're all in need of exercise. I think we're all in need of a change, some adventure, some exposure to nature. Whether it's a walk on the beach, looking at the horizon and the sea or the hills, smelling the grass and the flowers. I think these are part of therapy, if you like, nature's therapy. I would always rather prescribe exercise than any pharmaceutical pill or elixir. And I think getting away from it all is important. And you mentioned the fact that we're surrounded by digital technology. It's a good thing for information, but it's also good to switch it off sometimes to let our minds have a break and a bit of peace. Put an app on your smartphone which turns it off for a couple of hours, or just switch it off. I mean, how many of those calls really are, you know, life-saving? Very, very few.
Do you know, I could almost sense Dr. Hilary Jones's guide to mindfulness. I mean, it's got to be written. If it's already in the planning stage, it'll be there. It's definitely going to happen. And speaking of guides in general, other aspects, where would you suggest people should go to find out further information about what we've been chatting about today and indeed the survey itself?
Yeah, I would just go to Willoughby Holiday Homes website. It's very good. It talks about the survey and how other people feel at the moment. But it also gives you wonderful information about opportunities to take a staycation in the UK. Lovely locations, the sort of homes that you can expect. And these days, as I've seen, they are pretty luxurious.
Absolutely. We'll finish with two final questions. First of all, Dr. Hilary Jones, have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer with us today as opposed to the phoner interview we normally have? Has it been a good Zoomer for you?
you know, I have had to really increase my my ability with technology in the last few weeks. So, yeah, I've really enjoyed it. It's been great.
Yeah, absolutely. So can we prevail upon you again? Who knows, in the not-too-distant future,
of course
will
you
return? Yay!
Absolutely. It's been a real pleasure.
Benny, thanks indeed. Take care now.
Take care. Bye.
In the pocket of her raincoat. It's just another day at the office where the papers grow. She takes a break, drinks another coffee, and she finds it hard to stay awake. It's just another day. It's just another day.
So one day turns into another day and another day, but every day special when you can actually say, Graham Harper, welcome back to the programme. How are you?
Oh, good morning. Fine, thank you.
Marvellous.
Yeah, good.
Well, we've just actually off air, I can inform the listener, been talking about Graham connecting with us via one of our weekly Zoomers that we're putting together, a whole range of Zoom calls that are putting together from that point of view. And for somebody who is a complete novice, and I'm speaking myself here, Graham, 2 weeks ago, yeah, I'm very impressed, very
might
impressed.
Be.
But anyway, well, yes, we'll get there. That's important. I think we're going to, in principle, on in the upcoming week, do a connection with yourself and Richard Fitzwilliams. If you recall, we had Richard's tour of the National Theatre.
We did.
Oh, the National Theatre. I was going to say the National Portrait Gallery. So yep. Richard's joining us. We might also be joined by Tessa Snart and Ben Lewis as well. So it'd be like a midweek drive team. Connected, like one of Boris Johnson's cabinet meetings, except a lot more sensible and happy, and we won't be actually taking photos of the actual Zoom thing and posting it on Twitter. You know, so
no, I agree with that.
classic movies, Graham. Classic movies. So we've been running a series, of a mini series with Richard, in which we've been reflecting on classic movies and things in which they've been developing. So far, we've considered Gladiator from 2000, The Devil Wears Prada from 2006, La La Land from 2017, I think. And this week, of course, Rosemary's Baby from 1968. Next week, we actually go on to Clute. Of that list of five, are there any which particularly you think, yes, I always wanted to actually develop the directorial style of Roman Polanski Rosemary's Baby? Or is it a case of, I've never seen any of them. I've been too busy working for the BBC.
No, I watched all of those. Mm-hmm. I didn't like La La Land. It didn't do it for me, I'm afraid. Fred Astaire, Ginger Rogers did, but that didn't. I loved and was terrified by Rosemary's Baby. And I also thought that Roman Polanski was just such a brilliant, and is a brilliant director. Mm. So, yeah.
Pity about his personal life, but let's not go there.
No, I think that's the bad part of it, unfortunately.
As I said in the discussion we had with Richard, poor Mia Farrow. I mean, she has all that hassle. She gets directed by Roman Polanski, and then she goes and has a relationship with Woody Allen. I mean, it couldn't get any worse for the girl, really. Yes. I mean, you know, you always think, why did she ever have the haircut? You know, it's just not good. You know, what happened to Vidal Sassoon? But please, you know, it's too shocking. The thing about Rosemary's Baby that I found interesting is it's very much a psychological terror. And we have, obviously, Ruth Gordon there as the maniacal, the very interfering, busybody was actually there. Is there something still to be said, I mean, particularly in these socially distanced days, for the old Alfred Hitchcock maxim that actually it's best not to see the terror, the horror?
No, he's absolutely right. I took his advice, really, in one particular Doctor Who story I did, where I didn't want to show. I held on and held on as long as possible before you actually saw the new version of the Cybermen. So you saw feet, you saw a bit of metal, you saw a bit of eye, you saw a bit of something. And you built up and built up through the episode till finally you saw, well, unfortunately we can only afford 10, but you saw 10 or 20 all in one go about to attack a house or whatever. So you hold up, let the audience imagine what's going to come and then give it a little hint of it eventually.
You see, here was I thinking at the time, you just had mass cyber attack because they were desperately keen to actually see Billy Piper in a waitress outfit, but maybe not. You know,
that's ridiculous.
But you know, sometimes, just step away from that whole system. It's bizarre. But it was a very good series, and it held up extremely well from, and still does, of course. So you can access it through Netflix or the BBC. And have you been doing a lot of online watching? I mean, is this something where, you know, you have your Netflix, you have your BFI?
No.
No, right.
I don't do any of that. I've just got a free box and I watch all the channels. Well, I don't watch all the channels, but I've got plenty of that. I have never subscribed to Netflix or Home Box Office or whatever.
Right, yeah. Well, I'm
missing out, I know.
Yes and no. I mean, on the one hand, you could say, well, if you want to see Disney Plus and Frozen 2 and you want to see desperately Dame Judi Dench actually say, Top of the Morning, when she plays the leprechaun in Artemis Fowl. I kid thee not. I mean, if you've seen her in Cats, this is a performance that reaches even more heights or depths, depending on your point of view, of Dame Judi's career. Who would have thought it? Who would have thought it? So, never mind. It's the movie that I've never actually had such unanimity in terms of critics who say, don't go and see Artemis Fowl, or don't download it.
And what about Cats? It's the same, isn't it?
I believe it also was would be referred to in the trade as something which was a bit of a turkey, unfortunately.
It's sad. Yeah. I haven't seen it, so I can't make a comment. But it looked terrific.
Yeah, well, I mean, you've got Dame Judi Dench with hairy nipples. What more could you ask for, really? I mean, it's kind of, in many ways, probably the ultimate fantasy of so many folk. But, you know, we'll hold on that factor. But they do a whole range of things. Graham, we sadly need to move on to focus on the New York Book Festival, the New York Online Book Festival, which is coming up shortly, and that's another line, etc. But I do need to put those last two questions to you. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
Yes, thank you very much.
And the next critical question is, which we've kind of already answered it, will you be willing to take that brave new step when we send the invite out, etc., and take part, hopefully, in a Zoomer with
I'll
us in the very near future? Well, that's what I'm referring to them as Zoomers, because I thought you can't have telephonic links, so I use the Zoomer is the line that we sort of come through from that.
I'll be there.
Yeah, we will get that together and sorted. Graham, we salute you. Take care now.
Thank you, Andrew. Bye-bye. Bye.
Streets full of people, all alone. Roads full of houses, never home. Church full of singing, out of tune. Everyone's gone to the moon. Eyes full of sorrow, never wait. Full of money, all in debt. Sun coming out in the middle of June. Everyone's gone to the moon. Long time ago, life has begun. Everyone went to the sun. Hearts full of motors, painted green. Mouths full of chocolate, covered cream. Arms that can only lift a spoon. Everyone's gone to the moon. Everyone's gone to the moon. Everyone's gone to the moon.